morning. It is 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners will actually set the August 1st minutes aside and approve those at our next meeting. So the first item on the agenda is the TANF contract. So, Jody, you administer this program. Walk us through what is in this contract.
Sure. This is just a extension from last year, so there's no revisions to it. The total amount for the grant is for $61,000. Serving both the Boys and Girls Club, Children's Center, and Compass will be receiving funds. And we're asking approval to continue for one more year.
What was it last year?
This exactly the same, $61,000. No changes whatsoever to last year's contract.
Ms. Ruby, has your office had the opportunity to review this contract?
Yes.
All right, and you have no issues, no new provisions added or anything that would cause concern that we shouldn't enter into this annual agreement with the Department of Family Services for these programs that provide child care?
No, nothing that we saw that was concerning. We're good to go. As Jody said, same contract.
Okay. Move to approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve. Any discussion, commissioners?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the TANF contract, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item up, commissioners, is the request for proposal for supplemental accounting services. You'll recall that in the past we had contracted to provide these outside expertise for the clerk and the treasurer. We didn't have a local firm that provided these services. Unfortunately, the accountant that provided those left and went to another firm. Subsequently, that contract was terminated because that firm could no longer provide the accounting services. We sent an RFP out last year. We had no successful applicants even apply for it. We did make one change from last year's RFP at the suggestion of the auditors, and that was to lengthen this contract to a two-year contract with a one-year option for an additional renewal in the hopes of finding a firm that wants to provide these services to the county. Again, they help the clerk and the treasurer with posting to the journal, preparation of the abstract, as well as any other accounting services that are needed to get documents ready before the auditors come in. So there is money allocated in this year's budget, so it really comes down to if you would like to proceed with putting this RFP out. So proposals would be due in October, and someone would commence services November 1 and work through November 1 of 2025.
I would make a motion that we approve the request for the audit or the RFP and move forward with trying to get somebody to come in and help us with the preparation for the next audit.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the RFP, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to welcome up our emergency management coordinator to discuss the mutual aid agreement for the radios, as well as I think you're going to update us on the GMSR project now that the GMRS radio guru is present.
What was the first one I was going to do?
The mutual aid agreement.
Oh, yes. So, we've had a mutual aid agreement in the past with the town of Casey and the city of Buffalo and Johnson County. And what that mutual aid agreement does is it spells out in some legalese that we will help each other within for a specified amount of time. I think it's 12 hours or something like that. But we will help one another in emergency response as to providing staffing, equipment, whatever we would need, maybe a building, different things like that. It's just spelled out in that mutual aid agreement. It's not a memorandum of understanding. That's a little more legal. It's got a lot more things spelled out in it as far as dollar amounts and who's going to pay for what and those sort of things. So since that, we've had a lot of turnover in our elected offices since that was originally drafted or signed off on, so I thought it was time to get that back out into the electeds and get a new mutual aid agreement signed. Went down and presented the mutual aid agreement to the city council a few weeks ago, and at their last council meeting they voted to approve signing the mutual aid agreement, and that's what you have in front of you there. So I'm here to request that the county sign the mutual aid agreement, and then we'll go to KC and KC will sign the mutual aid agreement. They have that in their possession. I've been down there twice and visited with them over it. So I'm here today to just say please sign the mutual aid agreement.
Marilyn, is the county attorney's office had
yes.
a chance to review this?
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah. Ms. Crager has reviewed it. He says it looks just like the document that we did years ago. He said there's really no changes and no concerns in his mind.
So, Marilyn, how many years has it been since this has been updated?
Oh, I'd say probably 10 years. See, it was due.
Two new mayors, a whole new commission?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioners, do you have questions for Marilyn about the contents of this mutual aid agreement, length of time, anything that you need her to answer before we can make a decision?
Yeah, I do. Necessary to arm the mutual aid. I don't think it's harm to review it every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, if we did have a big event, probably happen in the city of Buffalo or town of KC. We don't get so much out in the unincorporated areas of the county. But without these agreements in place, if FEMA comes in or they bring federal, could bring federal assets in, that's the first thing they want to see is your mutual aid agreements. So probably don't have to use them, but you better have them.
All right, is there a motion to approve the mutual aid agreement?
I need to approve.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the mutual aid agreement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Well, it looks like there's also an update on Code Red, which I'm sure everyone in town was thrilled to get the calls in the middle of the night that the city's dispatch had gone down, but also necessary. So please update us on Code Red.
Well, you're right. People were thrilled. I got a lot of unhappy folks over that Code Red message.
I think it's probably necessary to have some people unhappy.
Yeah.
They need 911. They need it.
It's kind of a double-edged thing with that. When you send out a Code Red message for a 911 outage, people don't really think about 911 unless they're the ones that need to use it. The 911 system that night, if someone called 911, we'd give them a busy signal. The other line was down, the main line into dispatch, and Sheridan and Camel were out. Typically, we forward 911 calls automatically to Sheridan if our 911 system is down here in the county. But since they were all down, dispatch made the call to send out the Code Red message, and that's so I did, but it was like 1:18 in the morning, and it woke a lot of people. It scares you. When you get a call like that in the middle of the night, usually it's not just to say, hey, how you doing? And so there were a lot of people that were scared. And then to add to the fuel, two and a half hours later, the other one went out that said 911 had been restored. So they just barely got back to sleep, if they could go back to sleep. And so it was kind of a bad, it wasn't a pleasant thing. Probably necessary, but what we're doing is we're looking at, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, the last time we did a 911 outage, it was sort of the same thing, but it was at 10 or 11 o'clock, not 1 o'clock in the morning. And people still got frightened, heart rates up, that sort of thing. So what we're doing is looking at a different protocol to send those 911 outages out. I manage the Code Red system. Typically, I'm the one that pushes the button to send all the calls out. But I don't, if dispatch or the sheriff or police or whoever it is calls me and says you need to send a Code Red message, I send a Code Red message. So what we're looking at is a different. Maybe if it's a different timing sort of thing, or how do we say, at least with that second call, if 911 is restored, can we wait until 7 o'clock in the morning or something, you know, to send out the message that says, hey, it's been restored, or do we? So those are some things we're looking at. So we're going to try to make some improvements in our 911 outage calls process. I do also have the interoperable public alert and warning system known as IPAWS. This is a federal call out system that I can send out a 911 outage message to all cell phones, because your phones nowadays have that capability already in them, and it's a federal system. So anybody that has a smartphone could get an IPAWS message that says 911 is out and not affect 684 landlines. Because since that Code Red message went out the other night, I think it was August 9th, I've had four people, and it's not a lot, but it doesn't make me feel good, that four people call and say, take me out of your system. And that's not good for people to not be able to get. And the numbers they want out basically are the 684 landline number. But four people to opt out that won't get a message possibly, they need it, that I don't think is, I don't like it, and so I'm hoping we can work on it, get something better going for that. But that's what happened, and I think I went down and talked to the newspaper, and I think they may be going to do a little article on it to try to help explain why people got woke up at that hour.
Right, Lynn, the problem originated, was it a software update, or what caused the system to go down?
Some sort of internal issue that caused Sheridan and Campbell, and with the Lumen system, it's Lumen/CenturyLink. I don't know if it was an update or what exactly was happening for sure, but it was out of anybody's control. That's one thing we were going to look at. Can this outfit that provides the technology for 911, could they do their updates earlier in the day, or like late afternoon or something, instead of doing them in the middle of the night when it wipes out all the 911? So we're looking at working with the companies, the phone companies as well, and then trying to figure out on the 911 Viper system, try to figure it out.
Or would it be possible that they would do those updates in a county by county, especially if Sheridan is our redundancy and they're updating Sheridan and Johnson County at the same time? You've wiped out redundancy for both counties. So
yep.
Whether you do it at 10 in the morning or 3 in the morning,
that's another.
It makes doesn't make a lot of sense to take that redundancy down in both entities.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the kind of conversations we're going to be having with them. I'm supposed to meet with, I talked to dispatch because it's not the county that's responsible for dispatch, it's the city. So I visited with the dispatchers, and I'm supposed to meet with the chief of police here this coming week to look at all those different options to try to keep that from. Now, there's times when we might send out a code red message at 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't say that that won't ever happen, but we're looking at specific to 911 outages.
Well, I think that 911 is a critical part of our warning system. And sending a message out at 1 o'clock in the morning is a minor inconvenience for most people, for anyone, actually. Sending out a code red because it's back up probably isn't necessary. That could go out at a different time. But just because somebody got woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning, find out that 911 was down, it makes you mad. But on the other hand, if there was one person that was saved by that call, it was worth everybody's inconvenience.
Yeah, we the dispatch was having to take 911 calls on a cell phone. Mm-hmm. So they had to get a number out somehow.
Yeah.
But there again, it's just one system, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, but it's just one method of trying to keep the public informed. It doesn't always work. I had some people tell me, well, I didn't get the first call on my landline that said it was out, but I did get the second call that said it's back up. So I've been in touch with the Code Red people and said, hey, get me some statistics, figure out for me why this happened. No. So we're working on that. But then there were the folks that got both. I'm sorry.
I got both. Yes.
I expect the calls.
And then they not only got it on their cell phone, but they got it on the landline too. And it just startles people really bad. So anyway, that's where we're at with that. Any other questions on Code Red?
Which makes for a perfect segue into the redundancy with the radio program.
Yes. So I know you know Robert Garrison. And Robert, and this is Gar. But do you want to go by Gar or do you want Garwood?
Anything's fine.
Okay. They're leaders in the amateur radio club here in the county, and I just want to say I can't say enough about how much work they've put in, the hours that they put in helping do our full-scale exercise for the Vigilant Guard, National Guard statewide exercise was a huge help to me, and I thought very successful for us in testing out our amateur radio communications capabilities with Sheridan County and the hospital. And what we're here today to do is these guys have come up with an idea that I think is really valuable and really worth pursuing as a pilot program. I don't believe there would be anything else in the state like it right now. Close would be the 307 search and rescue deal, but I'm just going to turn it over to Robert and Gar here to give you a little presentation about it, because some of it's like they'll do a better job than I could. So with that. Go ahead.
Commissioners, thank you for letting us be here to make this presentation. Some of this has come about in recent changes to Federal Communications Commission rules, allowing us to do things with repeaters. A repeater is something that we use that relays information. Even the county system has repeater relays in it. And so this is something that GAR came up with on the repeaters. I had talked within the club 4 years ago before COVID about some of the other components called Neighborhood Ham Watch or Neighborhood Radio Watch. And the idea behind all of this, as we said in the executive summary, is we've got a limited number of amateur radio operators. 15, well, we've got about a dozen active. There's 30 registered hams, is what we call ourselves, in the county. And there are a ton of people. I bet, you know, you can name half a dozen of people yourself that have an FRS radio. Let me borrow his.
Show an FRS.
That's an FRS. That's actually a GMRS. Can't tell it. It'll do both. Yeah, but they use them for going up on the mountains. They use them at the lake, different places. And it's a pretty valuable resource. In 2021, Search and Rescue, WOES, and the Search and Rescue Council implemented Be Aware, B307 Aware, which is a system that they've try to use for outdoor enthusiasts to be able to track them and find them on the mountain or communicate once they've got it, because cell phones aren't working. But Mom sent someone out to look for Joey, and it's a way maybe they can communicate. Looking at all that, what we wanted to do and made a presentation to Marilyn is to put up a repeater, and that's just one component of the entire thing, that would allow people, residents in Buffalo, and even tourists coming through. It's amazing how many people you'll catch on a radio, and you can hear them. They're really weak. They come up loud, and then they leave town as they drive by on 25 or 90. But it's a source that people use to get help. It may just be routine help. Where's a gas station? Or it may be, how do I get to the hospital? You know, or I'm broken down. The circumstances may vary a lot, but even without the repeater, we can do some of this, because I live in a neighborhood with about 14 homes, and we're working on this to have everybody, and if there's an emergency, they could contact me, and I could relay it with a more powerful radio into town, and somebody would go and knock on dispatch's door if there is no phone or something. There's a number of different things that happen, but what we wanted to do is to put in the repeater so we'd have a good coverage of the city of Buffalo. We've done some testing. We've gotten signals depending on where we put the radio and its antenna, in Emerald Park or out on the Coomer Lane area, out to Johnson Creek, you know, different places, to see what kind of coverage. Because if we had an outage, we would have procedures implemented that would allow people to go on and say, hey, I've got a problem. And we could relay information both directions, possibly. We are not a replacement to 911 dispatch. We're not a replacement to much of anything, except that we add a redundancy. And this is what we're really here as amateur radio emergency services. If things are really broken, we can provide a lot of assistance. This might be very fundamental in a damage assessment team like we had after one of the floods, where we could have GMRS equipped assessment teams, and that's one of our radio club's ESF statements in the County Incident Action Plan. So this is just a redundant augmentation that would give us some capabilities. Not all FRS radios, in fact, FRS radios won't work on the repeater. It takes a special GMRS capability. But here's the other benefit. This radio can receive, so if Marilyn or the commissioners or someone needed to make out an announcement, there's another way if KBBS's generator doesn't work or it's just broken or the radio's down or the internet's down. We're one more communications tool. There's a concept called PACE, Primary, Auxiliary, Contingency, and Emergency Communications. 911 is primary. You've got the law enforcement radios. We fall down into kind of contingency. We're there to help. And then in an emergency, We can do things that may not be working anywhere. So what we're asking is support from the county. We're requesting $1,000 for this project. It would allow us to get a radio system to include the power, the antenna, the cables, something called a duplexer that puts the pieces together as an equipment investment. The BARC Club would do a minimum of quarterly training, invite the community to come in at some place, and we would teach them about how to use this, how to use it in an emergency. How do I make it where I can actually, almost every GMRS, FRS radio has a built-in weather alert system for national weather, FM radio for local. So they've got other things besides just talking and getting information. That's it in a nutshell. If there's other things that I can answer, we'd both be glad to.
Can I add something real quickly? You know, we're throwing around a lot of letters here. So let me, hopefully, I'm not telling you things you already know. GMRS stands for General Mobile Radio Service, and FRS stands for Family Radio Service. Family radio service are the small radios that you buy in blister packs at Walmart. They're very low power. You can talk from one to the other, but you can't go through a repeater with them. And they don't require a license. GMRS, depending on the radio you have, you can run all the way up to 50 watts, which is a lot. Most of them are 5 to 10, which is still quite a bit. And they do require a license. But the license is not like an amateur radio license. It's a real easy license to get. You just got to pay somebody. It's $35 for 10 years, and it's good for the entire family. So these are FM radios, very much like police radios or our amateur radios. They're very high frequency. They have a limited distance that they will go. We tend to say they're line of sight. If you put something between you and the radio, it'll block the signal like a big hill or something. That's why a repeater is so useful. You can put a repeater up fairly high. We have four or five locations that we have access to as the club that we've tested with that would work quite well to cover the entirety of Buffalo and into the edges of the county on one repeater. And conceivably, this is something that could be expanded into additional repeaters if some other parts of the county decided they wanted to do that. KC is an example. And at the same time, these radios are not just going to sit around idle while there are no emergencies. GMRS license holder can just use it. If your husband, wife, whoever goes to the golf course and you live a clear on the other end of town, the repeater would allow you to carry two handy talkies and talk to one another without the cell phone, without interfering with anybody else. And it does not have to be emergency traffic. If there was some emergency, we would expect people to relinquish the channel for that. And from our experience, they would. So those are my only comments.
Is it like a fern channel? What's the channel you're using?
It's a FRS and GMRS share a group of frequencies and they're channelized. They're in the 460 kilohertz cycle area.
Megahertz,
yeah, I'm sorry. 460 megahertz area, the pretty high frequency. But if you listen to one of these, it would be like, listen, if there were an officer standing here from the police department, it would sound the same.
The reason I like it is because when they're talking about repeaters, you know, when I come to you and I talk about we need to replace our repeaters for our countywide system, that's thousands and thousands of dollars to set up this first, I want to call it like first phase of this project.
That'd be good.
What, the repeater's what, this big? I mean, it's just a
shoebox size,
and you've got an antenna and cable and a battery backup for it, and so it's real easy, as far as I'm concerned.
It's easy to set up.
You all to set up.
Yeah, it's easy to set up. It's inexpensive as radio projects go. Mm-hmm. It's pretty inexpensive.
Is there a yearly fee with it, or
no?
Once it's sitting up,
the $35.
Once the repeater goes in and gets turned on, it just sits there and nobody messes with it.
But nobody's going to charge Rand to put it up. Or
we know people. We have some sites that we can use both with the county, like the one that we have at the airport for our amateur repeater, possibly law enforcement. The American Legion, we can use that facility and their electricity. We've already got permission, and we're actually operating some radio equipment from there as a backup disaster site for the club. And we've got a couple of others that are similarly arranged. So we don't have to pay tower rents and electric bills.
Can it be put on our towers that are already up?
It can be, but you know, I defer on that to Marilyn as the radio chair, that you know, you've got some problems with what they call intermodulation, one signal free hitting and interfering, so that's a much more complex deployment.
There might be some advantages to not putting them there, getting it away from existing infrastructure, just because it's less of a target.
And if we have to work on it, we can work on some of the others easier than we can work on the Justice Center Tower.
That's a really good point you brought up about not having them all in one place.
This is a low tower system, and the antenna needs to be someplace where it can kind of see the town, but it doesn't have to be in a specific place. We've got, like Robert said, I think we've tested in 5 locations that work pretty well. One of them is just one of our members' house. It has a tower in his backyard. We could put it up there, and so it doesn't necessarily have to be in an established radio location.
And the other thing, too, that they really haven't stressed is their education piece. So if the amateur radio club will take this on, and then there'll be public education. So I don't know if you set it up, but we talk maybe once a quarter, once every 3 months, whatever. That they'll train people. They'll help them with their radio if they need it. And then that also gives, say, for example, Robert's been doing some work with the Boy Scouts and things. It gives them an opportunity to work with the radios, possibly give them that next big step of becoming an amateur radio operator, which we never have enough amateur radio operators. And what we found out, this is why I'm excited about it, is what we found out in our full-scale exercise in June, how valuable amateur radio is in our community, because when we have no comms available, being able to use amateur radio, and this would tie right into it, the GMRS would just be another function of that would help with communications, how they help. We were able to relay messages to Cheyenne with no other radio capability but that, to amateur radio operators in Sheridan. We needed to transport, in our exercise, we needed to transport 2 or 3 victims to the Sheridan Hospital with no comms. They were able to get that all worked out and have somebody there to do it. And we don't think our systems are ever going to really go down, or we'll always have cell phones. We won't. If we have a big incident, the cell phones are going to go down. So with this, I think it would be just the next step into really solidifying a very nice residential, out-in-the-county, redundant radio systems, we should be able to communicate with any kind of event.
And with the example, and unfortunately we've seen too much of some problems that have happened in Maui with communications failing so rapidly. And one of the things of Vigilant Guard was when we were activated and we were running, Guard was manning a radio at the hospital. We were at the EOC, actually the alternate EOC. We made it up. And we were relaying, and then they sent out drivers to bring in staff. Well, if the staff had radios, maybe half of that could be eliminated. So what we're touching is kind of just the iceberg tip. There's a lot of things that could be improved and done.
And also, just I'm sure we've got out of time, but these little radios, you know, the radios that I have, radios that police officers are using, the fire departments are using, a lot of these radios are $2,000 to $5,000 a piece. And they're big and heavy. And that radio right there can do, I mean, you could probably, you can do a lot with it. But that radio is, what'd you say, Gar?
This one's an expensive one. It's $140.
Yeah. So it's not cost prohibitive. In some ways it might be, but shoot, I'm thinking, geez, you know, we do all these public promotions and things through emergency management and stuff. It'd be kind of nice to have a couple of those, do giveaways, whatever. But those are not expensive, so expensive that a person, for the most part, couldn't have one.
Just real quickly on this particular radio, this thing does a lot. It'll send text messages to other radios. It will send its location to other radios and receive locations from other radios. It just does a lot. But if you just want bare communications, talking radio to radio or through a repeater, there are GMRS radios that are about half of that money that work just fine. So if a citizen wanted to get involved but didn't want to spend $140, mm-hmm. they could.
And the other part is, it's big community service. It's going to allow people. It's not that they can't use their radio if it's not an emergency. They can use it, mm-hmm. and it'll be that with that repeater and them having a GMRS license. It's just going to be an avenue that. I'm thinking about kids getting lost or whatever, sending somebody to the swimming pool.
There are communities around. I can think of two. It's California. But there are two in the Bay Area that I'm familiar with. Gilroy and South San Jose have neighborhoods that have banded together and bought GMRS repeaters. And they have associations within their 10-block area where they've established people who will respond to problems, will turn their radios on if there's an earthquake, things like that, that they've done on their own. And this is pretty much what we're talking about as well. I want to make one more comment. This repeater is not going to be like a repeater that the police department uses or the fire department uses. There's not going to be a dispatcher on it.
No.
It's going to be freestanding, and anybody can get on there and use it as they want. If there's some kind of an emergency, then probably there's going to be some official that is going to be taking that over. And people tend to be very cooperative about that sort of thing. So if we announce that, you know, there's some major fire at the hospital and we need this frequency cleared, people will clear it.
And there's no really additional responsibility, like, for emergency management either. We take care of our radio system. We'll make sure we know what's going on with our WildLink system, the IPAWS system, Code Red, all that. This is not something that's going to add to the emergency management position.
Yeah, we could sit here and talk about this all day. There's
so much
flexibility with one of these things.
Sure, you got
this system.
So I guess, Marilyn, my question would be then, that ask is for essentially $1,000. So you've got your general Homeland Security Department budget. Mm-hmm. There is money in the 487 budget for radio systems, and there's also some 1% money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in support of this, how would you like to fund it?
I figured that would come.
And then there's also search and rescue.
Can I get a question?
Just one sec. We'll take a comment in just a second.
So I think probably the way to go would be out of that 487.
The capital facilities.
And we could use 1% for that as well. I didn't put that in the emergency management 10-4-36 lines at all.
Okay.
So I think either one of those would work if you all are okay with that.
I am.
Let's get a motion, and then we can take some public comment.
And make a motion we approve the emergency management request.
I'll second.
There is a motion and a second, which would allow us now to hear from the public if they have thoughts or concerns.
I have a thought with your endeavor. My name is Nikki Smirsky, and I represent the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, and I would encourage you to look at grant funding for that as an opportunity to make it more of an independent endeavor that you want to do for the community. And so it's just a thought.
Good thought.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, commissioners, any final thoughts before we vote on this?
No, I remember this in middle school, you know, and I was interested in the ham radio. I thought it was pretty cool. And having, I think, more education to some of these events that we have, and having you guys out in the public showing these radios, explaining, you know, prices, and I think it would benefit the community to get the word out more and get more radios around.
Mm-hmm.
Can I
bet you they would have liked to have some of those radios in Lahaina.
Yeah.
Yes, Robert.
Commissioner Shelley, you know, we've done a lot of things, and it's amazing the public outreach. We did the Klondike Rush and the county fair, actually doing street control on corners. And people are saying thank you because they realize what we're doing on the route for the Klondike, that we're communicating. But if they fall, because they're not carrying radio or phones, we're going to call the ambulance for them. And we had a lot of people. It's good to see the chamber and the tourism here on the parade, that we were helping. But we were doing that as station people. But they saw our radios. They knew we had contact. We could get help. So you're right. Public education is a very big piece of this. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think that's great.
Any further discussion? None. All those in favor of the motion to allocate $1,000 towards the repeater for the parks GMRS repeater, they signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else, or are you finished?
I do believe, Marilyn, that was all that we had on the agenda from Chris.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed us to transfer? Jody, any additional business?
Were we going to affordable housing in the meeting this morning?
Yes. Commissioners, we've been asked to appoint one of our commissioners to the Affordable Housing Task Force. So is there any interest in serving on that?
I would be interested.
No.
And Commissioner Perry, would you like to make a motion to appoint Commissioner Shelley as our representative to the Affordable Housing Task Force?
I would like to do that. Make a motion we appoint Commissioner Shelley to the Affordable Housing Task Force.
And I will second that, so he doesn't have to second his own motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of appointing Commissioner Shelley to the Affordable Housing Task Force, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are now at the time that we would entertain any public comment. Yes.
I didn't get to go to the meeting this morning, but I was wondering if there was anything discussed or decided about Bomber Mountain.
Okay. Ed, would you please introduce yourself for the record so that the clerk can get your question to the record? Mrs. Fox, the city is going to make a decision on their portion of the funding tonight at their meeting.
Okay.
So city-county breakfast, no decisions can be made there because it's not an actual meeting. It's just a discussion. So they will have that on their agenda tonight.
Thank you.
Any further public comment? Public comment? All right. With that, we will close public comment. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.